Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America. Appreciate you listening to these old episodes of High and Mighty, especially these Action Boys ones. But did you know, ... we're doing episodes of this.
Yeah, it's us, the Action Boys. We're here making Gabrus sweat for it a little bit,
as usual. And you would know this if you listened to our weekly Action Boys episodes that are now on Patreon.
Yeah, we answered the bell, and we're doing weekly episodes of this same old shit. And you guys got to come visit us over
there on
Patreon.
There's a lot you're missing out. Do you want to know what kind of trivia we've overheard at the gym? You better fucking get on Patreon, my friend.
Do you want to hear Charles Bronson impressions, Steven Seagal impressions, and for some reason, three different types of Trump impressions? We're doing a new movie each week. It's all the same microaggressions that you appreciate in these other episodes.
Let's give them a couple movies that we've done.
We've done Roadhouse.
Roadhouse, Point Break, Rocky III, Terminator T2.
Glimmer Man.
Glimmer Man.
Aliens. We've got a lot of great ones out there.
Yeah, a lot of great ones. We go back. We do the Death Wishes.
Yeah. So do us a favor. Yeah, if you're enjoying this, head over to patreon.com/actionboys or actionboys.biz. And for $5 a month, you can get weekly episodes of this.
All right, cool. That's a good warm up. Let's do the ad now.
Okay.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hi, Mighty. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, John Gabrus, your host, your boy, the number one fuck 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 boy. I'm so fucking tired of doing this, but never gonna stop because it's the only thing consistent about this podcast. Speaking of consistent things about this podcast, awesome transition, fuck boy. I have something consistent for you fucks. It's another visit from the Action Boys. Joined again in the High and Mighty Studios, besides Arthur, my unofficial, nearly silent co-host, are the unofficial, nearly silent co-hosts, the Action Boys, Ryan Stone Stanger and Benjamin J. Rogers.
Hey, how you doing?
Is your middle initial
J? Nope, not J.
Is it Scott? Nope. Scott Rogers is a person.
No, it's T.
Oh, see? Tiberius.
Yeah. Dad was a huge Star Trek fan.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
I was going to be Tiberius for my first name, but Mrs. Rogers wouldn't let it happen.
That was right at your fingertips. Tiberius. What's up, shitheads?
Hey, shitheads. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in.
Missed you, shitheads.
We missed you. It's been a minute since we've had the Action Boys on since the live episode of Raw Deal. And this episode wasn't planning on doing another one for a little bit, but we, of course, started texting each other about the JCVD film Lionheart. And we were saying how it's surprisingly one of our favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. I know that a lot of you guys won't agree with that.
I disagree with that.
Yes.
But it's controversial. But you saying that made me want to rewatch it.
Yeah.
And then we all decided, fuck it.
I fucking love this movie.
Yeah.
It's fucking good.
I mean,
Ben's been talking about this for a while. He might have me. I don't know. I'll see how I feel by the end of today. Okay. But it's up. It's top three for me.
Yeah,
I'm happy to say that.
All right, let's get it. Let's do some quick 5-star reviews of the podcast, and we'll start chopping it up about Lionheart. As always, shitheads, if you rate me 5 stars on iTunes and then roast me in the comments, I will read them out loud. So first off, this is from Alec Scholzen, who the title is "Ruined Improv for Me." John, with an H, Gabris, once subbed my Improv 101 class for Fran. Fran, open parentheses, an actually good comedian, close parentheses, Gillespie. He taught our class that being the loudest means you're the funniest, and just to talk over your scene partner if you don't like what they're saying. Little to say, he ruined improv for me. A couple years later, I began interning on Saturday nights at UCB Franklin and was thrilled to get to watch Asscat on a regular basis. That was until I realized John, with an H, was a regular cast member. I cringed as he made rape jokes and unearned racial comments. Poor Mary Holland and everyone else he had to perform with. Love the podcast. 5 out of 5. You're actually a very nice man, even though you never acknowledged me as a person at UCB.
All right, he won me over at the end.
Yeah.
What is little to say?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Needless to say?
I think he fucked up. Yeah.
I think, yeah, I wish I could turn this into a reverse roast because there's like 3 typos and phrases I've never heard. And I know Alec, and I don't think English is his second language, but it's really coming across that way. You hear me, you fucking long-haired loser? I can't wait to do Asscat this Saturday and say, I do know who you are, you fucking shitbird. this is a little bit of a longer one, but I think I'll get into it and try to speed through it since I don't have my Invisalign in. I can read faster. Yeah. The title of this
room fucking like mucus clear.
Hold on, let me see if I can read this. Red leather, yellow leather. Did I ever tell you
let
guys?
Me just power through this.
fucking owl pellet comes out of my mouth. Big pile of bird bones and feathers. Rat bones.
A whole ham.
Did I ever tell you guys? I'm sure Rogers heard this story, but working on 30 Rock as a recurring extra, one of Alec's like acting warm-ups, Alec Baldwin, who's like a fucking giant of a man, if you're not sure, would bend over at the waist and like bounce up and down like a hamstring stretch and go, "Hurt! Hurt!" Like super loud, and it was crazy to see. And it was like watching like a bear come out of hibernation. He would be like, "Hurt! Hurt!" And then I guess to get Donaghy's gravelly voice, Jack Donaghy's gravelly voice.
Hey.
Thought I'd say that. So all I'm saying is that I'm as good of an actor as Alec Baldwin.
Cool. Hey. Anyway, glad we stopped you and caused for that 5-minute delay.
Hey, hold on. Before we start the podcast, I just got to do this thing. Before I do this thing, I just got to do something else that you just pointed at. I am a fucking human Labrador. I'm like, ball, ball, ball. All right, here's a longer review from Infamous Alex. And the title is, "The Show is on Life Support." There's no possible way this show could go on for much longer. How could it? If the premise is based on the stuff Gabris knows about and enjoys, as he says, it would have ended a long ago. But I think even he is beginning to realize the podcast is a reflection of his life. It's a metaphorical, unfinished book report presentation in which he manages to scrape by with a D just because he spoke with some level of confidence in his voice, despite the fact he's only ever heard of books. You can't eat books, so why bother? Yes, this show is a perfect example of Trump-style speech-making. Knowing what you're talking about means nothing as long as you speak like you know everything. It also helps if you sound like a combination of Fran Drescher and Ralphie May. When people hear that type of buffoonish accent, they think, let's humor the man, baby, and act like what he's saying makes sense. If someone was doing a presentation on what's wrong with America, they could just put this talking gunt on stage and let him prattle on about chalupas and porn for 65 minutes. Somehow, one of the most gluttonous, aberrant men in podcasting also manages to be the most shameless, honest, and personable men in internet fake radio, which is exactly why this is one of my favorites. Yes, he's an obese, stoned, drunk, white, fat moron, but so am I. It's like looking in the comedy mirror. The world needs more equal opportunity, insensitive, racial, religious, etc. humor, and the world could definitely use more honesty along with more hilarious, all right, blah, blah, blah. It gets nice, but it ends with, fuck you, Jeb Garbo. Thank you, Infamous Alex. I will say, though, it's supposed to be a roast, and you called me white in there, and that's one of the highest compliments you could pay someone.
Yikes.
You're supposed to be roasting me, but I do appreciate being referred to as white.
Yikes.
Yeah, that one freaked me out.
That freaked me out.
I was like, I thought you were supposed to hate me. Yeah. How do you hate white people? We're the fucking best. Aren't we? And, wait, why are you guys unplugging
like
the mics?
Like looking into a comedy mirror.
Yeah, that was...
yeah. You ended up roasting yourself there a little bit. I'm glad I read a review from a guy named Alec and a guy named Alex today.
Yeah, you did it.
I did it. All right. Well, guys, thanks for swinging by. I got to take a shit. Let's talk Lionheart. Let's talk...
Oh, I JCB. Love this fucking movie.
So here we go. This is where we asked. All right, everyone, warm up. Grapefruiting.
I got a little bit of Artie on before you read that last review. If anybody was wondering what that noise was,
yeah,
put the mic up to Artie chewing on a bone.
They just listened to me literally chewing on bones in last week's episode of On Wings, so it's only fair.
Looking forward to it.
Here's the moment where we ask Stanger to briefly sum up the plot. of Lionheart, and then we say thanks for listening. By the time
I'll be screaming it all episode.
But so let's talk a little bit about Lionheart, because when did it come out in his career? Because everyone's favorite JCVDs are Bloodsport and Kickboxer, right?
Right.
Came like out those, after those.
Those are like classically his two big ones. And then Lionheart is sort of like combines both movies. And then this would be a pattern for the rest of his career.
Right. I think this cleans up the movies and makes them make sense.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty clean and easy, like it kind of reminded me of Barton Fink when they're like, a wrestling picture at an orphan or a woman who needs money.
Right. You understand every move they made in it. You're like, yeah, that, you know, that motivates that. That motivates that.
It ended up being pretty much the what would be the plot of all of his movies going forward after this, I feel like. He followed this format a lot. Dead brother or dead someone close
to. I think this was
to
the first movie he made that made sense, and it blew his fucking mind. He was like, yeah, they should all make sense.
It justified his accent.
Yes.
No, they do a lot of stuff like that where you're like, bravo, good job. That's, you know, yeah.
Yeah, everything like logically is very consistent. And, yes. And it makes you realize how much of that shit they just gloss over in most fucking shitty action movies.
Or go needlessly complicated.
Yeah.
Needlessly complicated, where you're just like, why are you guys challenging yourselves like this? Just fucking, you know.
I think that, and what you're saying, the plot is so correct and clean, which is unlike any other. There's a little bit of like weirdness once he's like in the agency hires him as a fight, like whatever that. There is like some logic that I don't fully get of like the woman and the guy, the bad guy from Cobra. Well, let's
Russell.
Russell. I'm way too far. I'm way too far down the path here.
Yeah.
Raj, why don't you just break down, just to keep Stanger at bay for another couple minutes? Why don't you break down real quick?
Interrupt. Don't worry.
The quick plot of this movie. I kind of forced you into it's Bloodsport meets Kickboxer, but how would you describe Lionheart?
Well, it's a guy who tries to visit his dying brother, and he has to escape the French Foreign Legion, and the only way he can survive is by entering street fights to make a living, since he's on the run from the Legion, and then he has to try to support his widowed sister-in-law.
That's all you need. And he ends up being, surprising no one, pretty good at these bare-knuckle street fights, and rises the ranks to fight in what is the ultimate street fight or whatever.
I got to give this movie a lot of credit for very creative locations for all the fights.
It felt like the thing you liked about Bloodsport and the thing you liked about Kickboxer. Like Bloodsport is Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, where it's like different guys with different styles. This decides to also change the levels.
You get
to fight in boards rather than just all in that one Kumite stage.
Yeah, there's these different tableaus that he kind of fights in. I wonder too, and we'll get into them specifically, but I wonder too if it's because Van Damme is credited as having working on the screenplay. There's definitely a vanity component, right?
Oh yeah.
Because it's
This is like, I mean, he is max, like, good guy and also, like, object of sexual desire by all women.
Sure, he's got a total hero complex in this one, too, for sure. Like, he could not be more virtuous. But also, like, they wear different outfits at certain times, and, like, it has to be a vanity thing. And, like, he sets it up so that he's always reluctant, like, why I have to wear this stuff.
You know, but then he like looks fucking great in it, you know?
He has a running thing of like helping homeless people in his movies. Yeah. Like that's like a big thing. I think he thinks that like home, like, you know, the kick the dog thing of like bad guy right. kicks the dog, good guy gives cash, like gives like a wad of cash to a homeless person and goes, here, take money.
Yeah.
You want $9,000.
It's another thing I really like about this movie. It's enough into his career where he's pretty comfortable on camera, but it's before he's still very challenged with English.
Right.
And he like fucks up a lot of lines that stay in where like words are flipped around.
Yeah, but it's great.
And it
makes
like,
sense.
Somehow
it
makes it better. Yeah.
Enough strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's so. Here's me doing my job.
He's not enough strong.
He's not strong. So it starts with him as a
French Foreign Legion.
Yeah,
great specific.
Yeah, paratrooper. Right.
I mean, should we go through with the opening shot of the brother getting burned to death?
Oh my
I mean,
God! Yeah, I forgot about that.
The cold open of the movie is
weird.
And this is gasoline.
So his brother, which you ultimately learn. Is in a drug deal that goes bad.
Yeah.
The guys that are selling him drugs are
under a bridge in New York that decide to fucking burn it.
Or LA, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's in LA. Yeah, yeah.
They give him sugar, and like he realizes,
he's like, this is sugar.
This sugar. He's also French. Yeah. And then they fucking say, exactly, and then burn him to death. Yeah.
They go,
I guess they don't have to pay him, you know?
They go, yes, that's sugar. And this is gasoline.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly what their plan was. Like, why didn't they just kill him when he showed up?
Yeah, or
like, maybe we'll try it. And then we're like,
yeah, why the pageantry?
It's like, I'll just be standing here holding a gas tank. If he just doesn't try it and leave, I'll say, yeah, well, the car ran out. But if he does try it and challenges us, I'll douse him in it and light him on fire. It's like, Rick, I bought you a gun, dude.
Yeah. Just fucking shoot him in the head. No way.
We so got my gasoline. He doesn't die. We go to a hospital where he's screaming. It's like, does he have any family? And he's like, well, he has a brother or like some shit. Or like maybe
she's
they don't
like,
bring
she
it
like,
up.
They go, does he have any other family? And she like looks off longingly as if to be like, he did. But then he's just like, Leon or whatever, Neil.
Leon.
Oh, Leon.
Like,
Leon.
Like Lion. Right. Leon. Yeah.
Leon.
They really. Oh God, I'm sorry. They really hit Lionheart, like, which is the name of the movie. But right now, the rights have lapsed, so the only way you can find this is in a really shitty quality version of it on YouTube, which somehow is the perfect format to watch it.
I watched this thing at like 360p. It was so fuzzy.
We would have bought it. I mean,
you can't find it
anywhere.
And the copy on, and they say Lionheart so many times. He has a tattoo of a lion on his fucking heart. They like hit it over and over again. The title on this version is Full Contact.
Full Contact. They changed the name of the movie.
Yeah, it's also been like titled Wrong Bet sometimes, which is always fucking funny to me too. It's like, all right.
Because that is one of the last lines, which is a great line in the movie.
Yeah.
So,
really quick, the level of burns that his brother suffered and that they choose to show multiple times is terrifying.
Yeah, he looks like a Slim Jim. He looks like beef jerky.
He looks like one of you remember when they used to do those like exhibits at the museum where they would show like human bodies and shit. I mean, it's like
Chinese skinned Chinese prisoners.
It's like get the camera off that motherfucker. I can't handle this shit anymore. Like tied on his like wet burned face.
Yeah,
so then
he's
we
like,
cut,
definitely
we cut to
up.
Djibouti, Africa.
Cut from an LA hospital to the African desert of Djibouti.
And where they justify, you know, I think this is a great backstory for Van Damme. I mean, later he made a movie called Legionnaire, but like this was like
a lot of entree off this small backstory.
And this
like.
Is also like the exact same plot of Bloodsport, is that he's like an army deserter to avenge the death of his brother.
Yes, but somehow that makes less sense.
This one makes I think this is the cleaned up version where it's like, let's make you not a Frank Dukes from America.
Yes.
Let's
make you a legionnaire friendly. And where they, it makes more sense why they would pursue you where they, like you abandon the Legion.
Right. And also you're signifies like you're a badass right off the top.
And it's also fun because then they can give him like this weird German commanding officer.
They gave the other characters in Djibouti, because you don't, you
it's
know, you
North
don't have to
Africa,
be,
right? And yeah, you can right. be any,
you can be any nationality to be in the Legion,
right? So yeah. that's cool. Yeah,
yeah.
So
you could like join the, like, I don't know who
we could all join the Legion if we want.
Oh my god, that's a good episode of High and Mighty. Let's go join the French Foreign Legion for a year. Come back.
I don't think that's how it works.
No, yeah, I don't think it's a vacation.
I'm just going to do a 1-year contract.
Hey, yeah. UTA, I'm going to head to Djibouti for a couple of years. Let me know if any big auditions come. Yeah. None? Hey, oh, okay.
Come on, I got a cute niece. Let me off the hook. But I like the Frank Dukes one, you kind of don't know what his rank in the military is. It's too mysterious. This one is like, you know, he's like, he's committed himself to this. He goes AWOL. He makes it clear that he's going AWOL and steals a Jeep.
Everyone's afraid. Like, everyone's a little afraid
and
of him.
And you can tell he's also like in trouble because he's digging that hole and he fucking fucks that one guy up to get the letter right away.
Right.
So he's already kind of a loose cannon.
Yeah. And he's clearly tougher than everyone because he's like, there's something special. Like, he's like special forces.
And they don't want him to go because they like need him around to do fucking badass shit.
It's cool, like, because he's deemed, like, they contact the LAPD because they know he's probably going to try to see his brother. Yeah. And the LAPD's like, we don't give a fuck. I like that, too.
Yeah, I like the scene where they justify it. It's like, they have real crimes. They're not going to go after one, like, escaped legionnaire.
This is odd. A poignant immigrant story.
It's like, very American. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's like, it's very zeitgeisty right now with, like, if we were to close our borders, we wouldn't get ourselves Lionheart.
Lion.
Yeah. I love. Okay.
So they dispatch two pretty badass looking, you know, vaguely European dudes to kind of come after him.
Yeah.
So that introduces a ticking clock.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he kicks their ass.
And he's a stowaway on a boat and
after
a
tramp steamer. The desert, which should kill him. The great scene of like, if the desert doesn't kill him.
He makes it through the desert to the water, which is like
insane. Oh, hey.
Deserts aren't that close to the water anywhere.
And if you think they don't show it, they show it. He's definitely staggering around the desert with like his shirt tied around his head. And Van Damme is
slaying on a ship.
Yeah. On The Quest, in the movie The Quest, which is like his Bloodsport ripoff that he did with James Remar.
Yeah, boring Bloodsport.
Yeah, boring Bloodsport. Yeah. He gets on a boat as a slave on that one, too. And the reason he gets in trouble in that one is he's helping homeless people as a clown. Remember the beginning of The Quest?
Yeah.
And so this is the second movie where, at least of many, that where he's helping homeless people and stowing away on boats. Yeah.
People love to see me help less fortunate, show my backside, and fight strong.
There's a couple of great, moments when he first lands in L.A. where that are just like ham-fisted, where he sees like homeless people in the garbage can. Then skyscrapers, then goes, America.
Yeah, no, it's New York. He only gets to New York. He's got to get to L.A., though.
But this is another
Twin Towers. He finally, like, they're like, don't go up on deck. And he, like, breaks that rule and goes up on deck and sees the Twin Towers.
Oh, yeah. Well, the guy that, like, tries to keep him on as a basically work for nothing, like, he kicks the shit out of that guy and then jumps into the water and fucking swims, I don't know, 10 miles to shore. Yeah.
Swims to fucking, like, the financial district.
Yeah, climbs out at fucking South Street Seaport.
Immediately wanders into a fucking street fight.
Well, it's great because when he climbs out of the water, it's got a crazy wino that sees him and like shakes his head, you know. The only thing they needed was for him to dump out his bottle of booze or something.
Look at the bottle.
Yeah. I quit. Throw it over his shoulder. What was that? And so he sees his first fight shortly after this, right?
Yeah.
He's like just dried off.
Right, yeah. He just kind of walks around and air dries.
And there's like, it's like kind of just a bunch of bums fighting. And this is where we meet Joshua, played by Harrison Page,
who puts on
a tour de force performance. And it's, you look this guy up, he's done a bunch of TV work. This is the biggest part he ever had. And he fucking hits it out of the park. I mean,
he might be the reason why the movie is so good.
Yes. He's amazing.
Here's the thing. I liked him and thought the character was funny when I watched it
as a kid.
But watching it now, I'm like, this mother
fucker is next level.
Yeah.
I looked him up. He's in the actor's studio. And like you could fucking tell, like he has to be improvising, right?
Oh, so much of that is improvising.
Because it's so
a character and it's fucking real. And it's like, this is the dude. This is like every fucking homeless guy who, like, you know, ask you for change, and you're like, oh, that dude's like had a fucked up past.
Yeah, but he's a hustler. But yeah, he's like smart. Yeah.
There's so much behind the eyes, and like you think you kind of have him figured out, and then he keeps revealing more and more as it goes on. Like it's beautiful,
it's a fucking really amazing, complicated character that like
wouldn't fit in any other movie.
It changes the whole fucking movie.
Yeah. He's what makes it special.
Yes. Right. And I think
I mean the other performances are all pretty bad. I mean Van Damme like is like fine.
Van Damme's great in the fights and barely member of
he's
any
got an
other scenes.
Undeniable screen presence.
Right.
But like because Harrison Page's Joshua is so
he's
good
in every scene just about.
Yeah he makes this like what Van Damme is doing from a stoic kind of language barrier standpoint kind of work. Like
right.
It
ends up becoming like a cool two-hander for a little while. And the thing you saying he's improvising so much makes so much sense to me now. I wasn't thinking
he's improvising
that.
A ton.
It has to be. Because if you think about it, what I was thinking was like, imagine writing that script or looking at that screenplay if it was exactly as is in the movie. It would be like Joshua's lines, and it would be like a fucking page because he's monologuing and riffing, and then it would be like two words from Van Damme, and then like another paragraph. If you really wrote it, it would look so disjointed because Van Damme is like, hello, and he's like, hey, what's up, brother? You gotta hustle, you gotta do, and he's like fucking talking.
No, motherfucker.
But it's not a caricature, it's so real. Yeah. Like, you have to, I mean, even if you fucking hate me. And you hate my wife and son.
I don't know.
Now you're talking about Ryan.
Yeah. Well, the second part.
Yeah. Hey, you're not wrong, man. They're doing their best, but they're not likable. No, like if you hate fucking action movies or like don't get, you have to watch it for him. Like he's so fucking good in it. And like it's so honest and vulnerable and like natural. Because everybody else is like just... they're kind of wooden, you know, like delivering like this schmaltzy dialogue. And he's just like electric and alive.
Yes.
He makes everything work.
It feels like a director was putting on a children's play and was like, I should just have one adult that I'm friends with come by just to do like all the heavy lifting. And they just bring in Harrison and he is talking. I love, everyone loves like the fast talking type character.
It's a trope.
It's a good trope. And especially older, and also, you know, like magical older black dude.
The
is
black
a,
manager of like a white fighter is like kind of another trope, I feel like.
He reminds me of sort of like a Wire type character. He looks like Sugar from Banshee a little bit, but he talks like Clay Davis. He's like so, and when you first see him, he's taking bets on that fight that's underneath the overpass, right?
Yeah,
the first fight that Van Damme sees.
Here's something I want to ask you guys. Do you understand how the betting works on that?
I have no fucking idea.
What the fuck is going on? And like,
the betting
how can
system, and how can you run the fights and also bet on the...
And bet, and like, who do you know? I think we talked about it a little bit with Bloodsport, where it's just this kind of like cliche movie thing where you're pointing at people, you're taking money, you're doing, and then like, not writing anything down. There's 60 guys, and then like, somebody wins, and I guess there's odds that determine the payback on this little bum fight, but it's just like, what the fuck?
Like, at least towards the end, it seems like there's something more of a like computerized.
Yeah, there's a structure,
and
like
there's
some
a
kind
house,
of,
and there's
That's the only like we were saying. This movie makes so much more sense than most Van Damme things. The only logic that you lose me on is, how is the management company making money? Do they rep other fighters? Are they just gamblers who find a good fighter and bet on them the whole way? Which is like an terrible strategy. I found a good horse. Now I fly around the country betting on it.
There's some gaps to fill in there. But just as far as that, like exchanging money on the streets.
That's such a trope of action.
And everybody's shaking money around.
Yeah, and it's like, listen, we've all like tried to split up a bill with four people at a restaurant. Like that's almost fucking impossible. Like try managing an 80 person, you know, betting scheme
with
on like a
fistfuls of cash.
Fistfuls of cash. Like I've like recounted like people trying to pay me to vent like 88 times and still like I'm still
impossible.
Down.
I'm like, did you put the tip on the card?
Right.
Did I put the tip on the card?
Yeah. What did we get shrimp cocktail? I don't know.
I actually ate most of the appetizer, so I'm going to put in a little bit more.
There's something that's happening during this fight that I noticed in the crowd that made me laugh so fucking hard. I watched it like 9 times.
I don't know it.
There's guys in construction equipment. There's guys in watching the fight in hard hats, vests, and with gloves on, with like workman gloves. It's like you don't wear a hard hat off site. Like,
listen, this is their own wardrobe. It was on their Zed cards. Yeah. They brought it. They're like, I can do construction. Yeah, you got
it. He has gloves on at one point. They're like fighting, and he's like, yeah. I see that he has like landscaper's gloves on.
Great, let's do this again. Gotta see the gloves, guys. Get those gloves into frame.
But there's like 3 guys dressed in full construction gear.
Those are guys are like, we got our own stuff.
Yeah, I know, totally. You get a bump. You get a bump
with the headshot that has like construction gear, doctor, firefighter,
a comp card.
So this is where we also get Joshua saying like, Lion, this is the lion.
This is the first step in his nickname. He's not Lionheart. Nine act structure. Yeah. Is establishing his name, which was the title of the movie. We know where it's going.
Well, I know when I first watched it as a kid, I was like, how are they going to explain Lionheart? I really want to see how that unfolds. So they deliver on that for sure. It's like Mammoth. You bring a gun on the stage, you better fucking shoot it. And they absolutely honor that. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, what happens?
He gets in a fight, and then this is the first step. This is the one thing I noticed in the movie, and maybe this is me projecting. But are all the bad guys and like the tough guys? Are they all black dudes? Like, I feel
the first
one makes sense because it seems like it's more like a black community of
it's like black fighters.
Like where he seems like the oddball showing up of like, who's this white dude?
Right. But he also fights. Of the Foreign Legion guys he fights, the first guy he fights is a black dude, too, who's putting him in the hot box, who I think is Billy Blanks, they said. I looked it up on IMDb to just see if any... Because I always like to look at these old movies and just scan. And you're like, oh, look who's in the small part here. Click on the link, and it's like Zach Levi or something. You know? Like the little girl, the daughter, his niece is like been in... Like,
right, she's been
you recognize her immediately.
Yeah.
She's
in, she like growing...
she was like a late add-on to Growing Pains. And
Yes.
And then now I think still pops in.
She
was just in something.
She's kind of the comedic relief. And
she was the daughter in what was it? The Leftovers?
Yeah, they like, she's very cute in this, and they like it must have been like, we just any dead space, let's just throw her being like,
right.
Hey, Miss Dude.
Yeah, she. It's almost like the movie is almost Curly Sue. Like it's almost a movie about a precocious young girl and her French uncle.
They definitely like cut together a great action movie out of Curly Sue if you just throw in some like oddball Jean-Claude Van Damme shit in there.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So he fights this big ass jacked black dude.
Yeah, so at this stage, like, he doesn't have any money or credentials or identification or anything. He's alone in New York, and so he sees this fight going down, and he knows he needs money to ultimately fly to LA or get transpo to LA.
Because there's the ship captain is like, what are you going to do? You don't have any ID. Yeah. You don't have any money.
Right. Like, have a green card. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have a green card. He's like setting up the plot of the movie.
You don't have a work visa.
You don't know how to get to your sister-in-law in Los Angeles.
You would have to get enough money to travel to California. And then once there, you would need more money, possibly, to support them.
What do you think? You're going to street fight for money and get a manager or something?
Fight. Joshua wants to become his manager. They're leaving. This is where they run into a gang of like... jacked bodybuilders.
Like an all-black gang made up of like what could only be... They look like Breaking 2. They're all in like spaghetti string tank tops.
Yeah, one trench coat, no shirt underneath, jacked. You know? Yeah.
They look like villains from a fucking side... They look like Streets of Rage bad guys.
Harrison Page is great in this scene.
This is when I really fell in love with him because I thought he was really funny there and I forgot how big of a part he has in this movie. But when they're like... They just want to use a payphone. They have like $10,000 cash on them or something.
That Van Damme keeps wanting to bust that.
Well, yeah, it's like they're trying to motivate why they would get attacked, you know, and so they really like ham-fistedly show
him. He's like,
we
have $10,000. Yeah. Like, stop saying $10,000.
Look, we both made money. You want to see the money that we made right here in pocket? And like pulls it out just like, yeah, and then like Harrison Page is great calling it out like, hey, fucking put that shit away. Jesus
Christ. Harrison Page's character kind of reminds me of...
the trainer from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yes, where
it's like,
Doc.
Where he had Doc, where it's like, all right, man, you got to call 1-800-NINTENDO-POWER.
Totally.
Yeah, so he's trying to call his sister and his mom goes to use a payphone, and nine jacked, honestly, I would describe as like gay black ballet dancers show up dressed as homeless people.
There's like some weird like symphony in their movement. Like the first guy that like shows up like pops out of like a truck sideways.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's like,
what is this? Like West Side
when
Story?
You're a jet. Yeah. And they make short work of these guys, including
one guy who does not fight and just goes, "You lucky day, punk," and then he runs away.
It's great, but you see Joshua can handle himself.
Right. Yeah,
he's punching this dude in the face, then wraps the fucking payphone around his neck and is like, "Hey, Lion, you need to make a call." Yeah. he's like, I'm okay. He's like,
he calls with the fucking
But it's kind of cool because you get why they would bond a little bit there because they kind of got each other's back, together. And you know they do a good job because like you know why Joshua's hanging around. Because Leon Lionheart is very valuable to him because he's actually good. Like, he's a good fighter.
Right. And doesn't know. He's like that weird.
He's naive.
He doesn't know how good he is. So he's like, how much money he could make.
Right. So he's like, it justifies why he would just keep hanging there and try to help him, you know?
Because so this is where the logic of betting doesn't work. So he bets on Lion and makes money off of him, but also is his manager and takes 15% if he wins and 5% if he loses.
Yeah, and also, like, Van Damme is just like, all right, give me money. He kind of robs him, I guess, at the start of this.
I don't want to get into the ethics of gambling when we're talking about... I'm like, hey, that's kind of a ripoff. You can't be able to bet and also take a cut of the winner, but then we're talking about illegal street
money. Yeah, so I think that kind of forgives that. But they're a little vague with the money stuff. I mean, the cool thing is, like, the amounts of money that they're talking about seem kind of believable. Like, it never gets too crazy.
Yeah, it's
too
like a
crazy.
Couple of $100. It's $800 or $2,000.
Let's get into the next major character, which is what's this woman's name?
Cynthia.
Holy
shit! A power businesswoman wears furs,
short hair,
very strange looking, like very square jaw.
Yeah, very Nordic and German.
Yes, and
she's like a Brigitte Nielsen ripoff. Like she's like a Brigitte Nielsen analog.
They really sexualize her. And some great shots of her doing like fucking pull downs.
The first time we see her being sexy, she's doing a lat pull down in. There is something specific.
It's like this was probably shot in 89.
The 89 bikini bottoms that are just
are
like
not flattering weird. To the female body.
No, they go
just
from
make
like
the ass look long instead of round.
Yeah, it's 1 inch wide by their pussy and then comes all the way up to underneath their breasts. it's that's not comfortable.
Yeah, I don't know how became a thing.
A friend of your podcast, Betsy Sadara, we were doing a scene together about like a movie in the 80s and she was nude and she's like, look at my long nude 80s butt. You know? And I was like, yeah, they all had like long butts in the 80s.
I don't know why that was like, because every guy wants a nice long ass. Yeah.
There's a shot later on where they're by a pool and there's a bunch of women in bikinis. Same and it's thing. The same weird. It was a bad time for lingerie and bikinis.
Bad time for buck guys.
But this, I will say that the interesting thing about Cynthia is that she has agency behind her sexuality.
Right.
Like she's not like some kind of toy thing. Like she kind of drives it a little bit, which is a cool twist
a more interesting character than just like
the reporter in Bloodsport.
Who's just like,
that needs to pretend to be a whore to get in.
Yeah.
The reporter in Bloodsporter is what I just said.
Yeah. So they, the reporter in Bloodsport. So Joshua knows Cynthia and knows that she's plugged into that like the higher end underground street fighting and
where the rich people watch.
Where the rich people bet you can make more money and he makes the introduction.
And she has a manservant named Russell.
Guy's been in everything.
He was, I think, probably to me most notably the main killer in Cobra.
Yeah, that's where I know him from.
The cult leader in Cobra.
Yeah,
that's kind of the heavy.
He's got the two badass knives with the grips.
He's got a very long face.
Yeah.
He's got steroid jaw.
Yeah, he's definitely doing some growth.
Yeah.
Growth hormone is spreading those teeth out big time.
He's got Cro-Magno head.
Yeah, and he's really mugging his big growth hormone face in this movie.
Wonders for that guy's never not had a problem getting a job. I mean, he's so weird looking.
Yeah, we need that big steroid face in this.
I think I need to do something
Schwarzenegger.
Like that.
It makes you indispensable.
And it's so funny because like to just shit on how weird that dude looks and be like, he's like a better actor than Van Damme. You know what I mean? Like,
scene, I don't know. He's fucking pretty.
Yeah. Where he gets out of the car is fucking weird, and he's like, so still, maybe we should put all our cards on the table. And I'm like, what the fuck? And there's like supposedly two guys just like behind you that are threatening you.
Yeah, he's military like, guys in hot pursuit.
You didn't tell me you were being pursued. He's like, you did not tell me you were following
that
me.
That scene.
It's like two guys who English is not there, like scene. Two fucking head injuries talking for like.
Yeah, you think at a certain point it'd be like, hey, just show him getting in the car. Like, show the car speed up and just show Van Damme having no choice but to get in the car. Yeah. They have a 48-minute conversation where like two sentences are uttered.
It's so like in between fights, let's have two full-blown developmentally disabled adults try to have a conversation.
I like this big, this first kind of big league fight he does is in a parking lot of this skyscraper.
Yeah, it's like
this is another 80s trope where like it's this is the one where it's surrounded by cars with their headlamps on, right?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
That's the Scottish fight.
This is just people around them.
Okay. And the woman who like gets a dude's blood on her and then licks it.
Wipes it off with her finger. Does what, you know, costs extra in Thailand where she wipes it off her tits and then licks it off her fingers.
I wonder what the fuck is that? That, like, even when I saw that as a kid, I was like, and this is like the height of AIDS. And like,
dude, that stuck. That image is the only thing when you were like, oh, we should watch Lionheart. You got to rewatch Lionheart. It's really good. The only image I remember is a blonde woman who I thought, like, I've attached that she looks like Amy Schumer in my head, and she kind of does when I rewatched it.
A little bit.
She wipes blood off her tits and then licks her fingers while staring at Van Damme.
Yeah, maybe she's a bug chaser.
Isn't she looking at Sonny? This is like, this guy's fucking great.
This is another good trope for these movies. Like, the fast-talking Italian.
Slick. He's like probably a stunt guy, right?
Yeah.
Like they just gave him a leather vest and slicked his hair back.
Yeah, he's like a Bronx plumber who learned acting a little bit.
Yeah, so Jay.
Oh, he's wearing, right. He's wearing a
leather pants and a leather vest,
a vest, like a formal, like tuxedo vest with no shirt underneath. Yeah. Which is like, you can wear whatever you want to fight in. You don't have to be formal.
Yeah.
And everyone wears.
This guy likes to look good, I think.
And he kicks some dude's ass, and like right before he delivers the big blow, he goes, "Let's do lunch sometime."
Yeah.
Kicks him super hard in the balls, right? That's how he, like, he's kicking the shit out of him in a bunch of ways, but he's on the ground. He goes, "Let's do some lunch," and kicks him in the fucking dick super hard, which is foreshadowing.
Van Damme comes out. So it's like, yeah. I don't know whether to fight you or fuck you. Yeah. And somebody in the crowd goes, "Oh, Sonny."
Let's run down some of the tropes of Van Damme movies and action movies of this time period that we've now seen at this part.
Okay,
power. Androgynous woman who's like in charge, sort of like the Brigitte Nielsen, like that type. We have like the black trainer type. We have the philanthropical, he's helpful and all that stuff. But then we also have like homosexuality is bad. Like, you know, it's like if I say fight you or fuck you, everyone's like, "Ooh, you look gay, brother." Like, it's like they say that and everyone's like, including the guy, "Oh, Sonny."
Or it's like a weird showcase of dominance somehow. Yeah. Like, if I'm able to like rape you, then I'm better than you, you know. It's just weird. And it's also just like how good looking Van Damme or any of these people are.
Yeah,
you know,
they love, like, Russell keeps his calls him stud throughout the movie.
Pretty boy, stud, all this stuff.
"Hey, stud, maybe we should lay all the cards on the table."
"Let's put all the cards on the table."
And so then we have another classic trope in this movie. Always one fight is a one-shot, one-kill fight.
One-shot, one-kill.
This is a classic. Always like a big build-up, big talker.
The Indiana Jones gunshot.
Yes. Ends in a fucking second.
Yeah.
Yep.
He comes flying. Sonny comes tries flying to kick in with him. A roundhouse. He ducks and punches him in the dick and knocks him the fuck out.
Yep. 100%.
And they're also like, "Sonny,
This is where she gives him the name Lionheart, right?
Yeah.
Beforehand, she just throws the heart onto the lion.
Yeah, she's like, "Lion, doesn't work for branding. Lion, Heart," and they're like, "Finally, full contact, wrong bet." "Your name is Lionheart, full contact, wrong bet."
I gotta say, I love her, like her theme, the soundtrack theme that they get. It's like, whenever she's around. They yeah. can, like, yes. They add yeah. this like. Really...
Oh, I forgot to look up who did the music because
the opening sax is insane. Yeah. Before yes. the dude gets lit on fire, yeah. it's that's music's another good trope. Unique. Is just blasting saxophone.
It's real, and like when they show like the his sister-in-law and niece, they have like real schmaltzy music there.
Yeah,
yeah. This guy is really on the nose music.
The sax is obvious because it the sax soundtrack is obviously done by Kenny G. So they give him the cameo as the pool fight.
That's it. Yeah, he's great in this.
He's pretty bad. So he does capoeira.
So we get through all the tropes. What else? Oh, and like buns. It shows yeah. Van Damme's buns.
It shows, you got to see his ass. Like very... let's talk about the sexual part when he gets wasted, right?
He gets wasted. Like, I think so he goes to Los Angeles,
they get to LA.
Meets his sister. She's like, fuck you, get out of here. Finds out his brother died.
And she's mad at him because he's the one that got him into drugs. But classic Van Damme. Can't have one mark on it. He's like, no, I covered for my brother. I said I was doing the drugs.
You should have let him go to prison. He was not enough strong.
Yeah, that's what not enough strong.
I forgot that he said that about his brother. He was not enough strong for that.
All right, we got it.
Or 65 times and only that way. Oh, God. Zoli, this is the best it's going to be. You know? And then even like 2 days in ADR and still it's like, at this point, we just got to do it not enough strong because
enough strong works. We could call the movie Enough Strong,
but it's actually great. Like it's
somehow I was like, oh, it gives it this weird authenticity.
It does. Makes him feel more like fish out of water because there's some really funny things like that they try to force into the movie, but I don't hate them. Like after the first fight, they go to get burgers. And Joshua's like, don't just look at that fucking sandwich, man. You gotta eat that sandwich. Take a bite. Like, he's so clearly, they're just like, you can talk the whole time until Van Damme gets out his 2 words. Yeah, he's literally like, don't just look at that damn thing.
So much, and it's all so good.
Yeah.
Like, what you pointed out after that fight, when he just like looks at the guy and is like, you ain't gonna do shit, man.
Yeah, it's so great. He just like, he throws it away. It's so great. He's like, he's trying, like, at a certain point, like a little scrawny, slick
blood
back. Blood
tits
his date, has his little ponytails, like, I could kick that guy's ass, man.
And then Van Damme, in a moment of a weird character choice,
goes over and grabs him, and he's like, try it right now, you and me, or whatever. Yeah. And then Joshua, like, senses that this is bad, like, goes over, and he's like, come on, hey, no, come on. Like, he's trying to defuse it, and then right as they're about to separate, he throws away, you ain't gonna do shit. You know? It's just fucking
shit, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's, like, one of, like, three times that Joshua, like, saves Van Damme from killing a person. You know, like with the Scottish guy, he's like, he's good, Lion, he's dead, he's done, he's out, Lion.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's like a good guy.
He's a really great character. And I'm curious, like, who, like, did a wardrobe, like, I wonder how into the, like, acting part, like, did he get his, like, Vietnam jacket and the gold tooth?
He must have, dude, because it's fucking great.
Everyone else is in, like, 80s glam, and he's in, like, Vietnam vet, like,
I've seen the world, man.
Yeah.
And you feel it.
Who else is going to take you from the Big Apple to the Big Orange?
To the Big Orange.
Florida?
Yeah. He says some great stuff. She don't give a flying fuck about you. Like a flying fuck and like all these great things. And they're like, he fucking nails it.
In the burger scene when the guy's like, hey, Joshua gives him the bounty. He's like, he quietly points to fucking Van Damme. And then later on, we see Van Damme looking at what I think is a burrito or a quesadilla.
It looks
very
good.
Very poor prop department move there.
Yeah, it's whatever it is looks good though.
It's like it's a big empanada or something like that. And he's looking at it and he takes a bite and he's like intrigued by it. I'm like, this is like Thor. You know, it's like fish out of water. Like, he's from France. He's never seen food before. But it sounds like he lived in America at some point, right?
No. I don't think so.
No. So like, that drug stuff with him and his
that
brother.
That was in Amsterdam, right?
Oh, right. Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Or like getting shit out or in.
Is that
Amsterdam.
How he got sent to the French Foreign Legion?
I mean,
I don't know.
I
so
love that there's an air of mystery to it. We'll never know.
But it's so funny you guys point out like he won't let him like have a mark on him because it would have been an interesting thing if he was kind of
like,
he was guilty,
a
felt bad
dude.
About
yeah,
it.
Felt,
yeah, it would have been better.
Yeah, which is why Joshua is so compelling because you know he's got conflicting.
He's clearly done some bad.
He's
stuff.
Done some bad
and he's
stuff.
Like. Into it for money. And,
yeah, mixed motives, all that kind of. He's the most compelling.
So he winds up getting back into fighting because he has
How does
no
he get
choice.
Wasted? What
he gets wasted because the sister rejects him.
Right, right.
And of course, he's like, I don't need food. And he's like, oh, I know what you need. I can read minds or some shit.
Yeah, and that's another Van Damme movie trope is that he gets drunk and cartoonishly plays drunk.
Yes.
Right. He I think... he thinks like that's like one of the Commedia dell'arte characters.
Yeah, it's like he's like you always hear in interviews with him that he's like a big Buster Keaton fan or something. Yeah, like, all right,
he's got to do one weird Chaplin-esque scene. Yeah. Where he's like in The Quest, it's like he's a clown on stilts, like he's like literally ham-fisted. But in Bloodsport, he does like the blind train, like he gets to do something where it's like physical.
Right, and, Kickboxer, he's drunk. I mean, somebody at some point told him like you're like a Chaplin, you're like that genius level of body movement. It really appealed to his vanity or something. So
he gets shit faced, and that's because Joshua sets him up for that. My bad. Joshua sets him up. He's like, I know what you need, brother. Takes him out to get fucking lit.
And he wakes up in Cynthia's like penthouse where he's like shirtless, so you see the fucking lion tattooed over his heart, and she's doing lat pull downs.
Yeah, this is like for
sexy '80s workout outfit.
She's got like this
Nautilus machine.
Yeah,
in
this
her.
Meet cute. Yeah, sorry, I'm steaming over you.
No, no, no.
This meet cute is like specifically written for me to wake up to like a chick in a fucking bathing suit doing lat pull downs. It's like the only thing I would like more is if she was doing cleans. if it was just a chick doing like hang power cleans in a fucking knight's uniform and a jindal,
chopped up with Olympic weightlifting shoes on.
Apparently, while he was passed out, took off all his clothes.
Burn them. And, you burn my clothes. He literally says, "You burned my clothes."
And then we have a great '80s montage of him trying on outfits.
Also, I wonder on the timeline on this because she comes to LA for business. Yes. She's in New York. She doesn't want him to go to LA because she wants to kind of like sponsor him and be vested so that he fights for her. And then he's in LA for, I don't know, 10 hours, and she's there somehow waking
and
up.
And he doesn't want to fight anymore. He's decided against fighting because now he's in LA. She's like, he decides that he is going to fight now because he needs to get money to them because he sees how hard their life is. The sister is working at like a fruit factory.
Well, he hasn't decided if he's going to fight. Before that, she takes him out to buy him clothes and they do in like Ben was saying,
this
80s.
Is first. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And like she puts him in like, you know, like Euro trash looking shit. Yeah,
he's in like Z Cavaricci's and
shiny
like a,
shirts and like and flared pants.
And just playing it so reluctant, but you know fucking JCVD was fighting. He's like, I want to wear the best clothes.
And we have sort of like a gay guy that works at the clothing place that's like turning a blind eye to them like doing like weird sexual shit in the dressing room.
Yeah, with no lines. Yeah. That guy just, you know, worked 2 days and came in on it.
Yeah, I'm sure that guy had to do a lot of filling of lines. They just decided they trim it all.
They got a shitty song playing. And at one point, like, he denies one of her choices, like, it's just not me. But then, like, and I'm like, why did that not make the cut and all the other weird vests and fucking banded collars work? What was the shirt that didn't make the cut?
He's trying on some of the fucking weirdest, like, time period cut. Like, it's like big broad shoulder cuts, like those, like, dress shirts that have no collar that you tuck in
collar.
And then you hang out like
oak tree structure stuff, you know. I saw this like video one time, like Van Damme started his own clothing line and he went to like some trade show and was like wearing the clothes and like would, you know, jump around and do kicks and stuff with the clothes on.
Holy shit.
I'll see if I can find it.
Is this where we have the car fight with the Scottish guy? That's his first fight in LA.
That's his first fight.
And is that where there are also like guys on roller skates for some reason?
Yep. Yeah. They come in with the cars. They open up the garage door. So now he's going to decide that he has to fight because he sees that the kid has no money. She has like a bagged lunch, I guess. And then the mom, they show like a big thing.
The mom's
like
sorting produce, and that like really wrecks him.
Yeah, he can't believe it.
He can't handle it.
She's working.
Yeah, she has a fucking job.
Yeah, he's like, I must bare knuckle street fight to protect her.
Oh, and that's so weird when he goes to Cynthia and tells her he's in, and
she feels rejected. That like was that does not make sense.
I was so lost in that part.
Why she got so angry and like because he didn't want to fuck her.
Yeah, let's back up. So she wants to fuck him.
Right.
He kind of pushes it off. She thinks when they go shopping, it's like a precursor to fucking. When he comes back, he goes,
Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. I moved on her like a bitch.
I'll take you furniture shopping.
I moved on her like a bitch.
I moved on Van Damme like a bitch.
I moved on Van Damme like a bitch. I grabbed him by his pussy.
I took his clothes. I ripped his clothes off. I took his clothes. I burned his clothes.
I was doing my lat pull downs.
I'll take your clothes, Jeff.
Here I am doing lat pull downs.
I'll admit it.
He rejected me.
I'll admit it.
There's a great moment where he comes back and goes, all right, I'm in. She's like, really? And gets like all sexy. He's like, to fight. And it's like, why do we have this sequence? Like, she's like, I hope he comes back and tells me he wants to fuck.
Yeah, that's where she's like wearing the weird lingerie, too. That's the weirdest shit I've ever.
And must think it's, like, more noble to not fuck her.
I don't Just fuck her, dude. Like, who gives a shit? She doesn't give a fuck about you.
You're an animal to her.
You're
going to make more money if you start fucking her.
Like, yeah,
you're
going to get bad more looking. You got some nice clothes out of it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Fucking Van Damme. So then he goes...
Oh, but she loses her mind. I wonder if this actress fought to get this in there because it, like,
it's
I guess a kind of emotional
showcase for her.
Emotional showcase and also motivate her being so evil because she, like, fucking turns on a second. Like, they kind of playfully flirt and he says no and she's like, motherfucker, like, fucking throws a glass at the wall and just.
She's like, because he doesn't want to live there because he wants to live. She wants him to stay in her L.A. apartment with him. She's met him
like in the Wilshire corridor or something.
And he doesn't want to stay there because I must live like
I'm not
fighter.
Your pit. Yeah. I'm not your pit.
Try Russell. But this leads to, I think, one of my favorite scenes of Joshua just watching basketball or some shit, and then Van Damme walking by with like a Playboy or something. He's like, yeah, you don't need this. This is a distraction. And he takes it to start looking at it. And then Van Damme must have like just like improvised, like, it looks good to me. And they like laugh about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, what a weird. And then I was like,
this
is another
roommate.
I watched a whole series of them as roommates.
I mean, is there anything that Harrison Page can't do? Like, he made that fucking work somehow. That garbage waste of a scene is great.
Like, it's so weird. You're like, why the fuck is this in there? We need a precursor to him going out to run.
Yeah.
And we, like, we open up on him watching TV.
Yeah. It's so weird. So
what's on the shot list for today? Well, we're not losing this. I'll tell you that much.
All right. And I'm just watching TV.
Yeah.
All right. You guys want to do it?
All right.
Say whatever I want.
Yeah. Your script.
Yeah. I know this character is just listed as black guy in the script, and you're only supposed to have like two lines. In this fight with the Scottish guy, though, is the first time where it gets a little blood sporty. It's like, they're going to have a street fight underground. Everything else has been seemed like a little no frills. This dude gets out, and he's in a kilt. And the reason we know he's Scottish is because his two trainers are huge, red-headed, like Islanders.
Red-headed, huge beards.
And he's in a fucking kilt. And of course, Harrison is going, I got a skirt on. Now I'm just being so racist to it.
I mean, it's how he sounds. I mean, he's doing... It's so good, though. But he, like, there's that first part where there's guys in roller skates. And, like, so I'm thinking, like, that's weird. And then you hear Joshua say, careful on the skates, bro. It's so great. I was like, yeah, that's weird. And, like, he fucking called it out. It's, like, fucking great.
It is weird. There's cars driving in. They're going to turn their headlights on so everyone can
fight.
Which
is, like, a late 80s thing. They did that Point Break,
it's
too,
all
to
from
play
video
football.
Games.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a circle of cars with lights on and this big badass Scott in, like, a kilt, you know. And and this is the first time you see Lionheart challenged, you know.
And, and they like seeing him get his ass kicked because this is like after she's rejected Cynthia, and so like they're bringing out tougher opponents for him to get
so
up.
Russell and Cynthia are really delighting in him getting a little
and
beat
he
up.
He breaks all a bunch of people's windshields of like these spectators that are like, hey, my windshield.
Because he's literally jumps up on the car for one. He throws him on the car, jumps on the hood to jump off to kick him, and when he's on the car he's like, hey, get off my car. He's here like 80 yard line.
Yeah, you hear
it's like don't drive it up to a fucking bare knuckle fist.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's on you, man. You wanted
those
seats.
Get off my roller skates.
You hear it like five times a person say, get off my car. Yeah. Get off my car. Get off my car. And then like, hey, one more. Say whatever you want. Get off my car. All right. Well, then we're going to do that.
Use all five of those.
Yeah, use all five of those.
So that's when we've, now we've got fucking, he's fighting characters. He's fighting people who can tell.
Now it's like a video game.
He likes Scottish kilts because Van Damme, he goes, wait, this guy's got a skirt on. Van Damme's like, it's a kilt.
Yeah.
And in the quest, there's like a Scottish Highlander type fighter guy, too. It's like,
it is a funny specific.
It's a funny specific because it's like, they don't have a martial art that comes out of there. Like, Brazil has capoeira or whatever. Like, he does Scottish boxing.
It's this Van Damme, like, fucking spitballing. He's like, fighters from all different nationalities. Scottish, you know, and you know because they're way kilt. You know, they're like, all right, we'll fucking put a kilt on for Van Damme.
Then there's the pool fight.
Yeah, pool fights.
Wait, or is there a mansion? Racquetball against a wrestler.
Yeah.
That fight's fucking weird and fast.
With weird shoes on.
And it, while like we're kind of doing a fight montage of like the parking lot or the roller skating rink, then we have the racquetball court, then we have the pool.
There's like, also like a mansion fight in there somewhere too, right?
That's at the pool.
Oh, that's at the pool?
Yeah, it's like a big man with a drained pool. Yeah. And there's all like the hot people like watching with like Speedos and bikinis on.
And they have to wear like bathing suits for some old
they're wearing matching singlets. And there's a moment when the Kenny, he's fighting a, which revealed to be some kind of capoeira guy because he's doing a lot of like ground spins. But he shows up and he is 6'4", skinny with like waist length curly black hair. He looks like Kenny G or Alfred or Alfred Al Yankovic. He looks like, and he comes out and he has the same skin tight black singlet on that Van Damme made that scoop neck tank top famous, like the scoop neck.
Oh yeah,
spaghetti string sort of like
this
dancers.
Is a custom job for sure. I mean, there's no way they found this anywhere.
But and it's like, weird that there's two, and then when the other guy comes out, he like looks to Cynthia, Cynthia looks to him, and then looks to Kenny G, and they have a moment where it's like she's planned this for all for her fucking spank bank. It feels like she's like. Oh,
there's so
two.
Many weird shots of like Cynthia and Russell just like looking at each other.
Yeah, and these guys, God bless them, they indicate. You know what I mean? They're working their fucking
in the
asses
meantime,
off.
Joshua was pretending to be from an insurance company. And like
Joshua,
off.
A formerly homeless 70-year-old man, is now pretending.
They throw him in a suit, and he's like, you know, throws on a character.
Oh, that I want to backtrack to that. Makes me think of a very funny moment when Van Damme goes, "I have one condition," and she's like, "What? One request?" She's like, "What is it?" He's like, "I want to open a bank account," and she's like, "I like that." It's like, they're like adding so much fucking sexuality to a conversation about opening a checking account.
And also, like, rich people are really evil in this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, they're all really into like bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah,
like
just
everybody
like
has like is just
hurt.
So into it.
At that pool fight, there's like women, like young women in bikinis, also betting on the fight. Like, it's a weird thing. They're just like all weird. Like, hey, yeah, we're gonna go hang out in the Hollywood Hills at a pool and.
Yeah,
you know, bring $500-$600 in cash to bet on a bare knuckle fight.
The only recurring characters at all of these fights is Russell and Cynthia.
Yeah,
and Van Damme and Joshua. But it feels weird. It's like there's these many different fights going on in LA, there's not a guy who's going to all of them. Like,
yeah, you'd think they'd have fans. You know, I mean, that's kind of what the UFC was built on, is they were able to engage their fans and all that kind of shit.
I do like how they mention, like, our friends in Hong Kong say you're going to get, like, he's going to mop the floor with you.
Yeah. So they try to create some infrastructure, you know?
That's where, then there's this weird moment where they watch a video of Attila.
Well, the French Foreign Legion guys catch up with him, kick his ass.
Right. That's where he breaks his rib.
That's where, he breaks his rib.
That's another big Van Damme trope, like,
being hurt on the side. Final fight. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just a classic, like, all really those movies, like, there's only one way to give them a weakness.
It's like Burt Lancaster.
And so then
the train.
He reunites with his sister, and that leads to. And now I didn't have a chance to rewind and watch this again because I got up for a second. But he sees like a drawing the girl made, and I think the version on YouTube that I was watching, it's never in the shot.
They show it really
show
quick
it for a second,
and it's actually like a crayon drawing, and it's like he's Van Damme's and she's like, she was very proud, she wanted to show you that.
They actually show it, and it actually looks like a kid's drawing, which I guess is cool because usually like art department does some beautiful picture. But the weird thing is, it's like he's like, that's beautiful. That's so beautiful. And then she's like, she wanted you to see it. And then you see it. It's just like, meh. It's like these weird like stick figures where he's huge with them. And it's like, I don't know if you describe that as beautiful. But there's also that great scene with the doctor. Where the doctor lay in bed for a week.
He's like a nurse or something.
Yeah, he's got a big tattoo.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah, he's like he's a fast-talking like Latina. He's like, oh, hey, man, you got to be careful with these ribs, brother. And he's like, gives him $100, and he's like,
$100, man?
Yeah, tell no one about the ribs. It's like, who's he going to tell?
Okay, man.
Yeah, he's like,
whatever you want, man. $100. Yeah.
He's riffing, too. Like, that guy feels like a real guy. It's great.
Do you know who he reminds me of? And this makes me think he's a trope, like a trope-type character. Hard to Kill.
Yeah.
The dude who's wheeling Seagal around was like, oh yeah, and he's got like headphones on.
Yeah, it's like the same guy. Like, it's like a fucking physical therapist or
something. Dude, like crazy likable, like just a like a burst of charisma, and then like and very real. Felt real.
Sort of
like
he definitely is from L.A.
Right. Yeah. He reminded me of Argyle in Die Hard, the limo driver, you know, like
he reminded me of Cheech Marin.
Yes. Yeah, he was like a young Cheech Marin.
East L.A.
Yeah.
It's weird. This movie is like the bulk of it takes place in L.A., but it never feels like L.A. to me.
No.
Right, does it?
No. It feels like Vancouver.
Right. Yeah. It's like a pool, a garage, a don't. You know, it's like it's never like there's no driving sequence and like any other. There's
it,
no like.
I think it's probably shot in L.A., but it has a vibe of that kind of like everywhere USA kind of thing. But they say flat out that they're in Los Angeles. So usually when that's the case, you shoot
a Venice boardwalk sequence.
Yeah, you feel LA more, and this is like there's none of that.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel.
There's like not a there's not like a palm tree in the movie.
No,
I mean, there's like a shot of downtown when he first like leaves the hospital, finding out his brother's dead.
I guess you got to assume that his sister-in-law and his niece live in like a part of LA. We don't like they live in like City of Industry.
Yeah, no, I get that. But like even like Cynthia's place, like I think it's the Wilshire corridor. But you think they would have gone for more of a LA specific thing?
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, so he gets caught up with by the Foreign Legion guys that are on his tail, and they break one of his ribs, and then Russell witnesses that, which I think kind of exposes a weakness and an opportunity for he and Cynthia to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they know that they have this badass Attila that can kick his ass, and they know he's injured.
So Attila, this is the part I tried to rewatch. I didn't have the time to go back a bunch, but who are the people that Cynthia and Russell are meeting with? Like,
I think
other wealthy,
other betters.
Yeah, I think it's capital. They're trying to get as much money as possible.
This kind of like made the whole like the economics work a little bit towards the end of like they're trying to raise the profile of the other fighter. So
the odds.
They're trying to lower the profile of the other fighters. So like the odds on Van Damme go up. So then they can bet against him.
Yeah.
So they show everybody an edited video of Attila where like he's just like kind of playing possum before he like splits a guy in half.
Yeah,
they just edit out that part.
That's his thing, is like he likes to kind of rope-a-dope people, punch themselves out.
He toys with his victims.
Yeah, so they at this point have odds makers, and they show.
Oh, I missed they showed an edited version.
Yeah,
I only remember seeing the one where they set up how. So that's a very good device.
It's cool.
You show the video of Attila, a game tape of him kicking ass, so you know he's a badass.
Right,
and then you go like the easy transition to be like, now we show you the bullshit version. That's so
like
fun.
I've seen enough, and they're like weird, like British.
They watched
foppish.
Yeah, they watched 4 seconds. Like, you're handicapped in this fight. You may want to look at more than that. You fucking
the
dummy.
Dude who's closer to them too, who's like he's kind of like the main British money guy that we see towards the end. I really like him, especially as at the end of the movie when he's watching the fight between Attila and Lion, and he's getting excited.
Clapping.
Yeah,
he starts the clapping at the end, which I gotta say works really fucking well.
It does.
And it makes you so fucking pumped.
It's wildly satisfying.
And there's a great scene where the French Foreign Legion gets invited to the fight.
Love that moment. Love when when he's talking to Cynthia and Russell, and it's like, look, here's the thing. I want to make a bunch of money off of Lionheart. Then he's yours. You can have him right after the fight, beaten, battered, bloody, blah, blah. And they're like, and he's like, what does that mean? He says something in a foreign language. It doesn't sound French. It sounds Russian. And he screams it. And she's like, what does that mean? He goes, can we watch? Such a good sequence.
Yeah, and Cynthia loves that.
It's
so does Russell.
Great. And this end fight is great. Of course, you know, like
Attila is a Chung Lee analog. Yeah, he's 100%.
He's the big, but he's got a great look. He wears a suit over his.
He's got an Andre the Giant vibe or something,
Or a Jimmy the Superfly.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Before though, when they're showing Van Damme the footage on Attila and also the odds makers and are trying to get him to fight, they have like a real awkward car ride with Cynthia. One of the guys asked Joshua, "Is like, do you have a nice trip over?" And he's like, "Nah, man."
Yeah.
Like, oh, sorry to hear that.
I totally forgot. I just laughed so hard I farted 3 times. Sorry.
Yeah, it's so great.
That's such a
great.
He's like, you have a good time?
Nah, man.
Well, not at all. We hate these motherfuckers. And like the guy like just, I had to be improvised. And the guy like right in the moment's like, well, I'm sorry to hear that. You know?
Yeah, it's like when they say exchange pleasantries, we'll cut it all out. And then they're like, look at the final cut of the movie. They're like, we need 6 more minutes. Oh, yeah. Add in all of fucking Joshua's
movie record. Moves. I got to give it that. There's no like a lot. No, of, yeah, it just keeps going.
We were just talking about this. I finally found HD footage on YouTube of the movie, but it's all the fight sequences edited together, excluding the opening Legionnaire kind of escape scene. And it's 28 minutes of just fights.
There's
scenes.
Some great action.
That's
some...
a lot of action in a movie, like unbroken.
It's very Van Damme specific, and it's kind of cool because they try to ground it a little bit. Like, I feel like Bloodsport and some of the more tournament-based stuff is a little more mystical,
yeah.
And he's kind of internally motivated, yeah. And this one's all external. Like, it's yeah. to save this family.
It's for money. It's like, for money. It's such a funny, like, it's so, it's the most American version of the movie. It's just so clean. It's like, it's not to avenge his dead brother. It's not to avenge his dead adopted Asian brother. It's not yeah. to avenge his former kickboxing brother. It's whatever.
It's purely to earn money.
Yeah, it is to avenge his brother, but yeah. it is to get money to
Well, it's more just to protect
his
family.
Do have a great scene where it's like, you know, who did this to my brother? And the doctor's like, who knows? You're never going to find out. You know who does need your help, though? Like, it just completely comments on that, where it's like, no, this isn't a revenge story. Like, we don't know what happened.
Yeah, he literally goes... It could have been a rival gang. It could have been a thing gone wrong. Could have just been a couple of lunatics or whatever. Says all those things. He's like, but you know who could use your help? And then he just like looks over at like the sister and the daughter.
Yeah, I can give you their address, even though you've shown me zero ID. And like, I already broke a rule by even like telling you this guy's dead.
And here's the real sad thing. No, I haven't. Your sister-in-law has a job, and so I know
she sorts fruits. Yes. I'm sorry to give you this news.
Yeah. And the
no!
And you know your niece is not well off because she stops and talks to minorities when she gets her bike. I thought that weird moment.
It was a weird show-off thing.
There's a weird thing where he goes,
like my new bike?
Yeah, like my new bike? And they're like, yeah, totally. It's like those kids are riffing. They're fucking five-year-olds and they're riffing. So let's talk about this final Attila fight.
Okay.
Right? Is there any other?
He takes his jacket off, and the whole crowd goes, ooh.
Yeah.
Is there any other lead up in there? Any other drama? Oh, there's the betting. And yeah. we learned that Van Damme took
everything.
And did he give it to Joshua to make the bet?
Yeah.
Or did he take and make the bet for himself?
I think he gave it to Joshua to make the bet.
Yeah.
It made it seem like that's where I was a little confused.
I mean, that's like the kind of bittersweet part of the ending that, you know, Joshua of course bets against him and he wins anyway, so he doesn't make the money, but he stays there,
right? I mean, and spoiler, and that's enough for the
that's kind of cool. I always wonder with the ending too. Like, I thought it would have been kind of interesting if Joshua had bet on him, mm-hmm. but tells him.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought.
Yeah,
that's
tells what, him why, he bet against him to protect him for his
that's
life.
What I
even
thought,
at
that's
the
what
risk
I was wondering
of...
what was going on in that moment, because it was cloudy.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like. Is he telling him that just so he stays down? He's like, don't worry, we'll be rich. Stop fighting. I want you to live, you know?
Yeah.
So we're getting ahead of ourselves, as we always do. Yeah. You know, like,
we're at minute 80. Getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah. We're almost at the length of the movie.
People are pissed off.
As the movie.
People are
so
furious.
Attila gets his ass kicked at the beginning because he's toying with him. Then there's a great moment where he punches Van Damme in the ribs and then realizes he's hurt and gives him like a great finger wag of you shouldn't have fought.
Yeah.
Satisfying.
Yeah, it's very satisfying.
Very satisfying.
He gives him one shot in the ribs and like Van Damme overacts and there's like a spot of blood and he's like Attila is like
compound fracture
down,
of his ribs.
He's down. He goes kind of like for a victory lap, gets like a fucking kerchief and like fucking like apologize. And meanwhile Joshua's like, stay down, man, he's gonna kill you.
This
man
is a street
don't
fight.
You know that
this is a street fight with no rules. Van Damme has been on the ground for 40 seconds and Attila is not following. You're allowed to like step on the guy's head when they're on the
I
ground
love
you're allowed to rip
in the fight when that like the, with Sonny when he's like, you guys know the rules. The no rules.
And they show that like at one point some guy rips a like a car antenna off and tries to strangle him with it.
Yeah,
it's like, well,
Scottish guy tries to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, so anything goes, you know. I guess he could fuck.
But I guess Attila's like, I'll let him sort it out with his manager for a little bit.
Yeah,
on the ground.
Have a 23-minute conversation.
It's really weird to me that they use the dialogue of Joshua saying, he's going to kill you, man. Don't you know that? They play that three or four times.
Yeah.
And then Josh was like, stay down, stay down. Like, I bet against you. It's all on Attila. Because he kind of sniffed out that something was up. Like, right, well, he's been around the block. He got fucked over by...
I think Van Damme bet all his money on himself.
That's what I think.
And then Joshua bet everything.
In cahoots with Cynthia and Russell. It sounded like he got like a deal cut by them.
Okay.
That's what it sounded like.
Maybe. I don't know. But
it's very murky.
It's murky and it's... Yeah, it's...
And actually, in the end, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter,
if Van Damme gets money or not, that's not what he's fighting for.
So he...
He's fighting for a citizenship.
So he says, like, you know, we bet against you, and then Van Damme looks at him and says, wrong bet.
And then
he gets up. The guys who bet on Van Damme
The
two British guys start a clap that everyone joins in on, including the French Foreign Legion
which is so great to see.
Which is so fucking satisfying.
It
gets you really into it.
That moment is so much stronger than Forrest Whitaker watching him in Bloodsport.
Yeah.
So much stronger. I got chills when he said, wrong bet. Yeah. I was like, that is a good line, like a well-written line, well-delivered, and a great, I'm getting chills talking about it now. It's just a great, it's a great movie moment. It's like a classic, like.
The turn of the French Foreign Legion guys to then be, like, supporting him is like so satisfying.
And it doesn't feel completely unearned because they fought him. They were in a platoon with him at some point, so they were like, you know, they know him in some capacity.
Yeah, no, they laid a lot of good pipe in the backstory. Like, everybody you get, like, it all, the only thing that's a little wishy-washy is Cynthia and Russell. They're a little cartoonishly bad.
Yes. Right.
But, I mean, they're money motivated and, like,
get their comeuppance.
They get their comeuppance, which is cool.
She obviously bet against Van Damme and lost and tries to rush out, and then someone grabs her somebody's like, ma'am, you're needed on the house. And then over his walkie-talkie, it's like, don't let that bitch leave.
Yeah, she's like within earshot of it. Oh, okay, I'm fucked.
She's fucked. And, you know, like, I guess she's a bad, like, unscrupulous character. Yeah. So, like,
she did something sketchy with money. She took some other investor's money or something like that. And
she had a...
She couldn't back it.
She was trying to show a sure thing. And, you know,
Attila is a great bad guy.
He's the bad guy in Kickboxer, right?
No. I don't think so.
No?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Is he the bad guy in Quest? Because the guy in Quest is a giant, classic, like, goateed, fucking ponytail guy.
You know who you remind me of? You guys remember the Simpsons arcade game?
Yes.
There's, like, that, like, big wrestling character that's not on the show.
You're totally right.
They just made up for the video game. Right. Like, it was like, that video game is so weird because there was like, none of these people were in the TV show.
Yeah.
This show that has like a whole
a million side characters. Yeah. Yeah, but I guess you can't show like Bart hitting Duffman in the head with a skateboard.
And Duffman maybe didn't exist at that point, but like still.
He looks so much like that guy.
So funny.
That's a good poll, man.
He goes home. The Legionnaires are like, good fight, Leon. And time to go home.
Yeah.
And he says goodbye to everybody. They hop. And this is like a true movie moment because it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
Gets in the car with the Legionnaires. They drive a block. Then they stop and it's like, get out.
Yeah. It's like, you could have said that to me at the house.
Yeah,
like you're not trying to prove a point to anyone that we just were with. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it goes from a mansion to like the suburbs, and then to like a city in like a 4-minute drive.
Oh yeah, that would take 2.5 hours.
I think Jeff Speakman is supposed to be one of the security in the mansion too, according to IMDb. I wasn't able to spot him. I didn't get a chance to really go back and look. But Billy Blanks and Jeff Speakman as two like small time characters in this movie.
I gotta say that this is edging up into number one territory for me.
Yeah, Ben, I rarely want to admit you're right. You know that. And I think
it's a clean movie, guys. Hunt it out on YouTube, shitheads.
Yeah,
this is back to talk to you, shitheads. The quality is not good, but somehow it works.
Well, also when you think about it, when you're like, the VHS that you watched of it was like 360p. Right. Like, you watched it on your kitchen television when you were fucking 12.
So
the
like
kitchen TV always the best
one. I feel like
one.
This was on like a lot of movie channels.
It was.
Yeah. Something happened. I was shocked that it was so hard to find.
Yeah. Like the pedigree on it, Sheldon Lettich, I think is his name, wrote and directed with other people, Van Damme included.
Yeah, he wrote Bloodsport.
He wrote Bloodsport. He wrote and directed Double Impact, I think.
Yeah.
And he also...
wrote Rambo 3, but maybe didn't direct it. Yeah. I don't know. He's got a good like action.
He's got a good.
But I'll say that like Bloodsport is like our introduction to Van Damme and the idea of that underground fighting Terminator. That underground fighting tournament is really cool. And it, like an exciting premise that they deliver on, but they try to like merge it with an action movie with those MP guys following him, Forrest Whitaker and the other guy.
Right, right.
But it doesn't, that
doesn't work.
Doesn't work. In this one, like the action movie component plus like fighting plus tournament fighting,
right.
It's kind of married together really nicely.
And the brother thing is like, it's a touch more complicated where it's like, I got to support my sister-in-law who can't know I'm there. But it's more realistic than like, I kill the guy who killed my brother. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It's like you understand, like it's a clearer motivation, you know?
The
it's,
money motivation works better with the fighting tournament than a revenge. Because then it's like, well, why don't you just go up to him and fucking kick his ass?
Yeah, right.
Why
you don't need to win Kumite. Yeah. You need to shoot fucking Bolo Young in the head. Like,
yeah,
if that's so, what you really want, you could just find him and hit him with a pipe.
Like, yes. So there's like this kind of like...
That would be a great move. You killed my brother. You go to Bloodsport and it's like, you see all these guys setting up their moves. Establish the monkey guy. Just fucking sprays them all down. You, Jackson, you look like...
That's a good sketch or something.
What the fuck do you think I'm going to do? Train? I'm lazy.
I'll shoot you, man.
In a week.
Yeah. I got an AK-47.
Gun show loophole, baby. Spraying up a club, like brought to you by the NRA. Yeah.
Take this, Obama.
Good luck taking these away. Pulls out two Uzis and sprays an entire Kumite full of shirtless Asian guys just getting ganked.
All right, John. Yeah.
Sorry.
Ganked?
You gank somebody.
You
gank
him. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So it is a combination of Bloodsport and Kickboxer, but maybe only because those were his first two movies. Like, it feels like this is like a modern version of Bloodsport. You know, obviously it's now 20 years old or whatever,
right.
But it feels like they were like
26 years old.
26 years old. Jesus Christ. I can't even think of how old I am.
Unbelievable,
when you say that.
Man. That's fucking unbelievable.
I've watched this movie 8 times in the last 26 years. What a crazy way to phrase something. I've seen Bloodsport 25 times in 28 years. Imagine you were 9 and you were like, over the next 28 years, I'm going to watch this movie.
Watch Lionheart.
I can't wait to watch Lionheart again in 26 years. Oh, my God. What are we doing with our fucking lives?
I don't know. We'll get like 6 or 7 tweets off this. That would be satisfying for
me. It improves on Bloodsport in that I don't know if Lionheart is... we're trying to land this plane, but I refuse to. I don't know if Lionheart's my favorite Van Damme movie, but I think it's his best. Like, I think it's the best one.
He's at the height of his powers.
Yeah,
like,
this
he
is
knows
in the three.
He knows what's good about him. He's got somebody behind the camera that knows what's good about him.
Yeah, and he's got an amazing support.
Harrison
Page
is just, like, really puts this over the top. Best actor in a Van Damme movie, I would say. It, like...
Possibly ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's all the stuff that you like about Van Damme before it became like a thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's before he became a caricature of himself.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like,
and no split, though, in this
no
movie.
No split.
He
yeah.
doesn't do
he
the
doesn't
split.
Do split but
we
he
see the
does,
buns.
Like,
we see a lot
buns,
of high kicks.
A lot of doubled up shots of like, yeah.
Oh, and there's a crazy, like, one guy at a time. He really gets exposed in, like, those multiple, like, those group street fights.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, there's just guys, like, hanging back while he's slowly punching. His kicks.
Two French Foreign Legion guys, like, take turns. Like,
yeah.
Like,
his kicking looks great. The punching always is a little weird for me. Like,
he always does like, it's like, you can't see it on the podcast, but he always goes like,
yeah,
like it's like always down.
It's some kind
towards
of like,
the camera,
like
so
a
like,
whack-a-mole thing
yeah,
or something
exactly.
he's doing. Also, I did read a thing where the director was talking about how Van Damme wanted to show his butt in this. And he was like, he said, can there be like where she sees me taking a shower and I show my butt?
The butt shot's very weird in this.
It's a long butt shot. And like the director is like, fuck
oh, wait,
that. All right.
Long is in reference to the shot. Because we do have some other long butt shots, but that's the long is in reference to the butt.
Yeah. Not the length, actual length of the butt. No, that's only the females. His seems
women have long butts.
like a weird shoehorned in, just robe, like disrobing, like extra beat on fucking yes. like his fucking meaty ass.
Could you imagine the power you, or and the confidence you would need to have to say to someone, I want to show my ass.
What if she sees me shower?
I mean, that's exactly like the exact thing. And the guy's like, well, we'll shoot it and we'll see if it works. And it's like, we decided to leave it in.
Shouldn't we know that like she wants to have sex with me? She's sexy. She sees my sexy butt.
Guys, let's Google long butts after this podcast. Maybe we do a whole episode on long butts.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey there, 80s chick. Why the long butt?
Deep dive on long butts.
I mean, what year did it change?
Yeah. Well, Action Boys, thanks again, as always, for talking, for taking what turned one bird's hour-long birds conversation about Predator into 8 episodes, so about 16 hours of content talking about movies.
It's undeniably a highlight of my life doing these. We see the tweets and we love them. Like, people send in like funny, weird pictures of Seagal and stuff.
When Seagal's been at the Kremlin,
we get a lot of tweets and we do not mind.
Weirdest fucking facial hair and shit. Like, I mean, if you thought he made
his whole shoe polish thing is very
he's got the Hollywood Hulk Hogan thing that he's doing.
It looks like Bluto or something, you know?
They look like they put a stencil over his face and spray painted lacquer.
Yeah, and then also we say this every time, the suggestions are good, but people will do a lot of our favorite stars are doing weird stuff now. They have to be really good. Like, you got to don't pick the worst ones, pick the best ones.
How did this get made, which is a big podcast I'm a huge fan of. They do the bad movies. Yeah. I want to do movies I loved. So Recco some action movies. Some of the ones that have been thrown around that we've been throwing around as well is Best of the Best, Perfect Weapon, which are a couple of my favorites.
Yeah.
But now I'm
Perfect Weapon, we're never going to do.
Upon rewatching Perfect Weapon, we don't necessarily
also Speakman blowing us off.
Yeah. Oh, we got to get Speakman in the studio, dude.
Oh, I would do that in the studio. It'll be weird, though, because we'll have to hammer the movie in front of him.
I think it'll be an interesting dynamic.
He doesn't seem like he'll be a good sport with that.
He doesn't seem like a solid sense of humor.
No. Total Recall was
Total
one that,
Recall would be fun.
RoboCop would be really fun.
RoboCop might be really good to get out of our triumvirate as well.
Yeah.
That's what makes me think Best of the Best. But also now, upon doing Bloodsport and Lionheart, it feels weird if we don't do Kickboxer.
At some point, we can take a Van Damme break, Kickboxer's a must.
Maybe we'll rent a fucking cabin in like NorCal and just record 8 episodes, watch a movie, then record an episode over a weekend, and then let him out over the course of 6 months.
That's definitely the weekend I die. That's like what we remember me by.
That's the weekend you killed me.
8 hours of us.
And then your brain blew up on mushrooms or something.
Yeah. This is where we do a murder-suicide where you kill me because I interrupt you 11 times an episode for 10 episodes.
We just get lost hiking and that's the end of it.
Anyway, in remembrance to the 3 action boys.
No one cares except for like a subset of the fans of my podcast, which is already a small group. You shrink the group even down more to 11 30-year-old meatheads who still like the same.
Yeah, we can't even get the whole high and mighty audience to
there listen. Is a group of people who don't listen to any of these Action Boys episodes.
All right, let's get... I've been having to piss for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We all know why, brother.
You're getting to the bottom of it.
All right.
At Ben_Rogers, at Stone Stanger. Anything else you guys want to plug? Oh, Stanger's got his own podcast. Check out.
Yeah, it's on the HeadGum Network too. It's called The Dumbbells with Eugene Cordero. It's comedy and fitness. We'll get both of these guys on to do it if they will at some point.
Fucking train drunk. Dirty, eat clean, live in between.
Live in between. Yeah,
I'm a huge dumbbells head.
Yeah, you can tweet at us questions if you want it at the dumbbells for Twitter and all that.
But, and then tweet at the three of us about other movie recos, things you saw when you watched Lionheart and 360p on YouTube. Let me know.
I'm looking for a dog. If anybody's gotten any leads,
if anyone in the California, in the Los Angeles.
In the Southern California area has a lead on a cool-looking dog.
Cool-looking therapy dog. Yeah. Ben's losing his shit over here. And if anyone wants to buy a gun and a length of rope so Ben doesn't have it around his house anymore.
Buy that stuff up, guys. So that you can't get to it.
And tweet us pictures of long butts from 80s movies.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Oh, yeah,
I got to get my long butt feed going. All right, bye, shitheads.
Hey, I'm mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.